And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the ministry of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily.
Thank you. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for this gathering. Thank you for this service, Lord. I pray you give me utterance in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Amen.
I'm going to do a simple Amen. Sermon today. I'm going to talk about Amen. Christ in you. Look at Colossians chapter 1, starting here in verse 20. It says, "What, having made peace with the blood of his cross, by him reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say whether things in earth or things in heaven." So all things are reconciled to God. Again, we're justified by his blood. Romans 5:9. Much more now being justified by his blood. So I have bad stick drift. Being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him because of what Jesus did. But Paul's gospel that he received wasn't a new way of salvation. Rather, it was to reveal something. It was Christ in you, the hope of glory. This was hidden. See, the disciples did not know this about Jesus. Okay, they didn't understand this, Christ in you. It was hidden to them. It was made manifest to Paul to fulfill the word of God. God chose Paul to preach this, Christ in you. We call it the dispensation of grace, which is your freedom from the law. You're dead to the law. You're completely justified, sanctified the moment you believe. This is all in Paul's message. And it was given by the ascended Christ. Now, go to Romans 15. I'm going to show you why we go to Paul. A lot of people always ask me, they say, why do you always read Paul? Why don't you go anywhere else? Go to Romans chapter 15. I'll go ahead and show you. Now, Jesus' earthly ministry was still under law. Okay. The Sermon on the Mount is not the way you live your life today. The Lord's Prayer is not how you pray. This was under law. Jesus' audience was Israel still, who were still bound to the 613 commandments, the law of Moses. They were still bound to it. And the whole purpose of Jesus' earthly ministry was to raise the standard of the law and show Israel their inability to keep it and show them they're not keeping it. Matter of fact, Jesus said, if thou be perfect, go sell everything. Be perfect. And here's the issue. None of us are perfect. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, though not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what was the purpose of God's law? And we know from the Bible, the purpose of God's law was to show our inability to keep it. Romans 3:19. What the law says, it says, when we're under law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, other terms, the works of the law, shall no flesh be justified. Right, the Ten Commandments can't save you. The law cannot save you. You die to all of them. Right, in Romans chapter 15, Paul says here in verse 4, for what sort of things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of Scripture we might have hope. And that, in my terms, that's a lot about the Old Testament. Right, when we talk about the Old Testament, a lot of that stuff doesn't apply to us. We don't go to the Old Testament for our way of life. We died. That's law. We died. We're under grace now. But see, we can read the Old Testament knowing that all of it is a foreshadow to what's to come, which is Christ. So when we read the Old Testament, we read it not as doctrine in the sense that for Christian living, but rather we read it in the lens of grace, saying, okay, this is all foreshadow to Christ coming. Go to verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Now this is Jesus' earthly ministry. Because of the midst of the circumcision, for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the Father. So again, that's Israel, right? Jesus' earthly ministry, he was offering the kingdom, right? If Israel would have repented, again, the word repent does not mean turn from sin or stop sinning. The word repent means to change of mind. If Israel would have simply changed their mind and accepted Jesus the Messiah, God would have restored Israel right there and then. But did they do that? No. So Jesus' earthly ministry wasn't for you. A lot of people like to come to our church, and the more, because since we focus more on grace and the message I was given to Paul, they say, well, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And you ask them, well, have you done that? Have you taken up your cross? And the answer is, if they're honest, you're going to say no. Because the whole purpose of Jesus saying, hey, take up your cross and follow me, was to show you that no man can bear the cross. It was to show only he can bear the cross for us. It was to show our inability to follow him. If you be my disciple, he says, what was that to show you? That you can be a disciple. It was to show you the inability of it. He says, hate your mother, hate your father. He says, listen, give up everything. The thing is, you're not going to do that. Did the disciples do that? No. It was to show their inability to keep it. The whole purpose of the law, again, was to show you, hey, you're not righteous. Hey, you're not good. And when I see Christians in VR chat, especially in VR chat, you come across them a lot, to telling people they got to keep God's law or turn from their sins. You know, you look at these people and like, well, they're not doing it. The Bible tells us in Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Jeremy's in here.
You guys keep your mics muted, please. Thank you. So Jesus said, Paul says, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So if being made righteous is by turning from sin, the Bible says, Christ died in vain. Or if being made righteous is by law keeping, Christ died in vain. So what was the purpose? Again, simple. To show you, you can't keep it. That's it. That was the purpose. No ifs and buts. It wasn't to make you, the law wasn't given to make you holy. It wasn't given to justify you. It wasn't given for your rule book for your life. It was to show you, hey, you're not righteous. And this shocks a lot of people because a lot of people think they're good. And that's our natural mindset. Oh, I'm a good person. And you may be good to our standards. I may say, oh, you're an awesome guy. I love you. You know that. But according to God's perfect standards, we're not good. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7, he says in verse 18, he says, for I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. How to perform what is good, Paul says, I find not. Paul acknowledges that even his earthly kind of ministry was rooted here in covetousness. And let's be honest, what we do for others, we kind of expect something returned. If we're really honest, you know, so none of us are good in the flesh. There's nothing good in it. There's nothing good in it. Right? The bad news is that we're sinners, can't save ourselves, but the good news of the gospel is what? Christ did it for you. He died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. And by faith in him, we're justified. By faith in him, we're sanctified. Go to Romans 15. Sorry, my introduction here. But look at verse 14. Here's why we go to Paul. And myself, Paul is saying, I am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also be full of goodness and filled with all knowledge and admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly unto you. Sorry. Okay. All right. I had to kick that person. Sorry. All right. Nevertheless, brother, I wrote more boldly unto you than in some sort as putting you in mind. All right. Can my staff do their job for once? I'm going to kick all of you out real quick. All you guys are getting out of here. Go outside. You guys go outside. Remove them. All right, so remove all of them. Remove your favorite. Remove Augie. Remove them. Get them all out of here.
I have a question. What did I do? I was just listening.
Bro. Waste of time. Kick all of them out right there. Except for Lurie, and then make sure they're all gone.
I have a question. I was just listening, by the way. I wasn't with them.
Wait, what?
All right, then keep your mics muted then. Thank you. All right, go back to Romans 15. Sorry, I'm not trying to deal with that. Romans 15. Either you're here to listen or just get out. Don't waste our time. Nevertheless, brother, I wrote more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that was given to me, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, offering up the Gentiles that might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Okay, so God gave Paul this special grace, right? This special grace for us. And that is what? To reveal the mystery of Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Under this dispensation that we're under, which is called the dispensation of grace, is that Christ did all the work. We're under grace now. We're not under law. We're no longer living by law. We're no longer living by Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus did all the work at the cross. We now live by what? Faith. We're saved by faith and we live by faith. This is the good news of the gospel. Now, people ask that, what about good works? What are good works? Well, good works are not what you do for God or do in this lifetime. Good works are what Christ does in you and through you as you rest in the finished work. And you're not conscious of it. Paul says we're his workmanship created in Christ, is unto good works, but that he has ordained that we should walk in them. Notice that it says we should, not saying that we always will. We should walk in them. It's not necessary. But again, it's what God has ordained, not you. Good works are what Christ does in you and through you. And guess what? Paul says most of the time you're not even conscious of it. Because the Bible says in Philemon 1, Christ has begun a good work in you. Christ, it's his responsibility. Okay, again, we're not talking about a behavior modification or moral improvement. We're talking about Christ himself living through you, expressing himself through you when you rest in the gospel. Okay, this is Christ is now in you, right? He's in you. He dwells in you as a believer. This is the part of the good news of the gospel. Paul calls it the blessing of the gospel. Genesis chapter, Galatians chapter 3, where the Spirit comes in. Now, again, in Colossians, listen, Christ is everything. Everything, he's everything to God. God has made him to be everything. Christ dwells in you, and he's the fullness of the Godhead. The mystery, once hidden, is now revealed. He's your righteousness, your sanctification, your wisdom, and your life. And you no longer live by yourself. Christ lives in you. And you died to law, died to sin, meaning sin has no legal claim over you. You may sin 1,000 times a day, but none of it can touch your standing before God. It's been dealt with at the cross. This is called justification. You've been just as you never sinned. You know, in God's eyes, listen, you may sin down here and you do. We all, again, this is the whole, there's nothing in our flesh. It sins every day. Our flesh is a mint of sin. All it does is sin. Okay? But you know what? In God's eyes, he no longer sees you as a sinner. He no longer sees you as an unrighteous person, but as holy and righteous of what Jesus did. So when you read the Bible, especially in Paul's letters, when Paul talks about the ungodly, the unrighteous, that no longer refers to you. God no longer counts you among those. God counts you as righteous and holy. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22, we read it earlier. Through his death, he presented us holy, unblameable, unprovable in his sight. That means right now, where you are, God sees you as holy and righteous as Christ himself. Because of what Jesus did. And Christ dwells in you, lives in you. And this is not a feeling. Listen, religion bases their standing on God on their feelings. Some inward sensation or inward experience. No. Your standing before God is secure because of what Jesus did, no matter how you feel. Some days you're going to feel good. Some days you're going to feel like, I am saved. Some days you're going to feel doubt, you're going to doubt and question. Don't trust your feelings. You do what God's word said. He that believeth is not condemned. You're not condemned. Go back to Colossians chapter 1, my bad. Anyway, Paul says right here in verse 25, wherefore I was made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you, to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery of God, which has been hidden from ages, which is now manifest to his saints, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ lives in you. See, this is why we don't need to follow. See, people say, are you a follower of Jesus? No, I'm not. First off, no one here is a follower of Jesus. You can't physically follow him. He's not here anymore. Number two, I don't need to follow him. I have something much better. He lives in me. Christ dwells in me. See, many Christians are living like the cross never happened. That's why you have law and grace mixed up. This performance-based system. Because Paul says in Galatians 4, tell me, those who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law and what it says to you? Do you not hear that you're guilty? Do you not hear that you're condemned? Those who desire to live by the law, you not hear it? You're guilty. You're condemned. You can't keep it. For as many of the works shall are under a curse. This is why we need the gospel. This is why we need Christ. But the moment you believe what Jesus did, yes, you're forgiven of all sins. You're going to heaven no matter what. Your sins are forgiven. You have eternal life. That's good news. My eternal destiny is secured. But do you know in this life now, you lack nothing. You're complete. You're righteous now. You're holy now. Well, preacher, I did this. I did that. Listen, those have been dealt with. Your sins are not yours anymore. They've been gone. They're dealt with. God doesn't see them. See, the Christian life is not a life about self-improvement. It's not a life about overcoming sin. It's a life of rest, peace, and thankfulness, knowing your God. This is what Paul preached. The way God deals with me and you is only in Christ. Not apart from Him, not by your effort. No, through Christ only. What is grace? See, we limit grace to just being, oh, it's just unmerited favor. No, but grace in its highest definition is Christ Himself. It's God Himself in Christ, then spes into everything and to be everything. He's your food, He's your drink, He's your peace, He's your rest, He's your supply. That song we just played, everything's in Christ. He is. Listen, Christ is in you. He lives in you. See, another thing here. I'm going on a rant. This is a kind of just me winging this sermon today. Number again, you as a believer, you don't need to get closer to God. This I know. I'm not close to God. Again, that shows you many Christians are basing their standing on what their feelings. Right? Sometimes they feel joy and peace, and when they don't have that joy and peace, they think something's wrong. Am I not reading enough? Am I not praying enough? Don't look to your feelings. You don't need to get close to God. You're close to God now. You're just as close to Him. Because the Bible says you're in union with Him. You're one spirit with the Lord. So there's no such thing as getting close to God when, as a believer, you're as close as you can be. You're one with Him. Matter of fact, in Ephesians 1, it says you're seated with Him in the heavenly places. Spiritually. But, I mean, what's my point with this? I want to show you that you lack nothing. There's no demand on you. Listen. You don't need to come to church. You don't need to pray. You don't need to, you know, listen, there's nothing wrong with praying. There's nothing wrong reading your Bible. But you don't need to do those things in order to get closer to God or get His favor. You're standing in His favor as a believer. You've been justified. You've been sanctified. He lives in you. You don't need to be a follower of Jesus. He dwells in you. You need to get closer to Him. He dwells in you. You lack nothing. You're complete. Stop basing your standing before God on how you feel. Based on what Jesus did. Did Jesus pay your sins? Yes. They're gone. You're part of His body. You're knit together with Him in love through the supply. Amen? You're one with the Lord, the Bible says. Go to Galatians chapter 2. So again, we're crucified with Christ as part of it too. Listen, what does it mean to be crucified with Christ? Listen, that means God has judged our flesh, and He has. The flesh, it's a corpse. It's no longer who you are. You have it. You live down here, but no longer defines you. But let me get to this real quick. Paul says all its afflictions and lusts, its virtues, its sins have been judged at the cross. God is done with it. There's no demand on it. God is done with it. He's not seeking to reform it. He's not seeking to perfect it. Matter of fact, Paul says, are you foolish thinking you can perfect your flesh? God judge it. He's done with it. And many Christians hear about are shocked because, again, they think with this performance-based righteousness mindset, that's all about self-improvement. It's all about becoming this and that. And, you know, those Christians have no peace. Because they have, matter of fact, they have not agreed with God's judgment. God is done with the flesh. Why are you trying to change it? He's done with it. Paul says this, I'm crucified with Christ. This is good news. Galatians 2. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm alive, yes, I'm alive. But not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So that's the Christian life. Christ in me. No longer I, but Christ. The just shall live by faith. And what is living by faith? Living by faith is just you agreeing what God has said about you is true. That on this side of the cross, you're righteous. You're forgiven. You're holy. You're one with him. You die to the law. You die to guilt. You die to shame. You can have peace. You can actually live a life down here. You know that? You can actually live. You don't have to be a servant or a slave. God didn't make this world to produce servants and slaves. He made it to produce sons and heirs. And guess what? The moment we believe, the Bible says, we're co-heirs of Christ. So what does that mean? All things that belong to Jesus, think about it, his relationship with the Father, his inheritance, his blessings are now yours by grace. This is a free gift, man. You don't work for it. You simply it's not a transaction. You simply receive it, and that's it. No ifs and buts. Even if you want nothing to do with God anymore after you're saved, you ain't going nowhere. The Bible says if we believe not, he abides faithful and cannot deny himself. Faithful to what his promises. He promises you what? Eternal life. Should never go to hell. No man can pluck you out of his hand. You're one with him. You're in union with him. You're sealed with him in the heavenly places. So even if you want nothing to do with God after you got saved, it won't change anything. God says you're still mine. You're still my child. Just like your father today. He'll always be your father, right? You may argue, you may fight, you may not want anything to do with him, but he'll always be your father. Same thing with God. He'll always be your spiritual father. You may not have nothing to do with him. You may go worship false idols like King Solomon did and still be saved. King Solomon worshiped false gods and false idols. He was still saved. And some Christians do that. Some Christians, you know, they get saved at a young age and they grow up and start worshiping false idols and false gods and they get into paganism, whatever it might be. But yet, in God's eyes, God still sees them as his child because at one moment they believed what he did. And Christ came in them. And that will never, Christ can't leave. Listen, he can't leave you. Your sins are gone. That's why, listen, I know I have the Spirit of God in me because the Bible says you're sealed with that Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. That's a day we got glorified bodies. And the Spirit can't leave you. Because, again, your sins have been dealt with, right? In the Old Testament, the Spirit came and left because of the sins, right? But guess what? Now, since your sins are gone, past, present, future, the Spirit can never leave you. Even your darkest, worst condition, Christ is still in you. This is the mystery that was hidden from ages. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We're almost done. So what? I believe that everything is in Christ. Christ is in everything. He's my point of reference, my center, my way of life. I do not know myself. I do not know myself or others apart from God. I believe I am part of his body, joined with him in one spirit. I believe that Christ is everything to God and that God has made him everything to me. I believe that Christ dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily, and I'm complete in him, lacking nothing. I believe that Christ is in me, the hope of glory, the mystery once hidden but not revealed. I believe he's my righteousness, my sanctification, my wisdom, and my life. I believe I no longer live by myself, but Christ lives in me as my new life. I die to sin, die to law with him. I died with him. And the world is my history. His resurrection is my present. And my standing before him is secured, and my future is glorification. Listen, we lack nothing now. Nothing. You are accepted now because of what Jesus did. You're righteous. You're forgiven because of what Christ did. Your sins, past, present, future are gone. If you wanted to, you can go to a club tonight, get drunk, party, do all that stuff. And guess what? Nothing changed between you and God. You can go ERP with 1,000 people tonight in VR chat. And nothing can change it between you and God. Your sins are gone in his eyes. You are not reckoned as a sinner. Now, ain't that good news?
Am I getting married?
Because of what Jesus did, man. We're now righteous. We're now made holy by the blood. What was for me to do? Simply what? To believe and receive. And the life that I now live as a believer, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. So, Christ lives in you. And this is not a feeling. This is not an inward sensation. This is a reality. You are a new creation. This is not, again, I'm not talking about feelings, how you feel. I'm not talking about whether this is not a feeling. This is just who you are. You've been regenerated from the Spirit. Again, your flesh, we're not talking about your flesh here. It's done. God's done with it. You can't perfect it. You can't improve it. There's nothing good in it. It's a mint of sin. So when you sin, don't be surprised, because God wasn't. That's why he judged at the cross. You've been dealt with. And now God no longer relates to you on the basis of your sin. He's done with it. He relates to you on the basics of sonship, that you're his child or his daughter. You're his kid, spiritually. And he loves you. He's a perfect father. He will never abuse you. He will never cast you out. And John 6:37 says, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will no wise cast out. You ain't going nowhere. You're part of the family. Like it or not, you're part of the family. Even you run off, you're still part of the family. Amen. Short sermon today. I was going to preach on something else, but I want to wing this sermon. I didn't expect more people to show up, so sorry if it's not, you know, more 3 points. Usually I have 3 points, and that's it. I'm just winging it today. I just want to speak, amen. But Christ is in you. He dwells in you. You're righteous. You're loved. You're accepted. You're fully justified, fully sanctified, fully made righteous because of what Jesus did. Your history is no longer your history. Your history is the cross. Your present is the resurrection. Your future is glorification. You are secured no matter what. All right. On with this. A simple message. Bible says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. So if going to heaven was based on how good we are, all of us would be going to hell, because the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And no amount of good works can save you, because the Bible we read in Romans 7, there's nothing good in my flesh. And we read in Isaiah 64 that all our works has filthy rags inside of God. Right? Sorry, guys. Someone just... Can you not do that?
Bro. Boo.
I got him.
No. Dirty bastard.
Woody's distracting me.
Shut the fuck up, you dirty slut.
Watch your language. Please sit down. Hey. I'm trying to focus here. Thank you.
It's pissing me off.
So Christ is in you, the hope of glory. All right, I forgot. It's like I got distracted here because of that. All right, my point is this. There's none righteous, no, not one. You can't save yourself because there's nothing good in your flesh. So what's the good news? The good news is how Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again. That's the gospel. Paul calls that the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. And how are you saved? By simply believing it. The gospel of John, which I believe is a gospel for the whole world, unbelievers. The gospel of John makes it very clear about the whole gospel, how to be saved. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's all you have to do is simply believe what Jesus did, and he gives you everlasting life. Now, what does it mean to believe on Jesus? Because many were saying that day, Lord, Lord, I cast out devils. I done many wonderful works. But Jesus said, I never knew you. See, those people were trusting what? In themselves. They were trusting in their own works. And the Lord says, I never knew you. To believe on Jesus means this, that you're not trusting what you do. You're trusting what Jesus did. And if you trusted by grace at one moment in your life what Jesus did, you're saved. Heaven bound, raptured ready. And if you die today, God forbid, you go to heaven. Not because of what you did, because of what Jesus did. That is the glorious of the gospel. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord,
amen.
Thank you for this gathering. I pray, amen. Lord, that this message was a blessing to someone. And I pray that you just help them to rest in their position, Lord, in their grace, Lord. Amen.